back to your seat. You can go ahead and be seated. Take your Bible, turn this morning, if you would, to the book of Deuteronomy. The book of Deuteronomy, chapter number 7, if you would. Deuteronomy chapter 7, we're going to look at three verses, verse 7 through verse number 9. If you notice on the screen, I have for you the title, the message, God is Faithful. And we draw that from our text this morning, Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 7 through verse number 9. Follow along this morning, if you would, as I read. The Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you, because ye were more in number than any people, for ye were the fewest of all people. Now, Moses is what he's doing here. He is just doing a review from chapter 1 for many chapters in the book of Deuteronomy with the children of Israel, how God has led them and directed them and so forth. And so he is saying here to them that God did not set his love upon you nor choose you because you were more in number than any people, for ye were the fewest of all people. But because the Lord loved you, verse 8, and because he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen from the house from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Now know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to a thousand generations. But notice again, he is God, the faithful God. Have you realized how many people we count on in life? For instance, we count on our doctor in time of a health crisis. We count on our dentist when we have a toothache. We count on our employer to pay us. We count on the airline pilots to get us from point A to point B. We count on a school bus driver to get our children to school. We count on the chef in the restaurant to cook a good meal we ordered. I really count on that, don't you? Have you ever gotten a bad one? I did, believe it or not, on vacation just last week. They had several restaurants you could go to, and so I wanted to go to one called the Southern Table. And the description of the restaurant really talked about, like, you know, this would be like Southern flavor kind of food. And for the most part, it was. And so I thought I would try their ribs. And we had the appetizers and all that stuff. And then the ribs came and they looked good on the plate, but they were the worst ribs ever. They were two pieces of ribs about yay big. And it was nothing but glazed over fat. I'm serious. There was no meat on it. I thought, where's the ribs? And they were not there. And so I got the attention of my waiter. I said, I don't mean to complain, but these are terrible. And he says, well, would you like something else? I said, yes, I would. And order what my wife ordered. But so sometimes you can have an experience like that, but particularly today, like if some of you go out to eat, you are definitely going to expect that your chef is going to cook you a good meal that you ordered. And while human nature cannot be relied upon 100%, the nature of God can be now and forever relied upon because he's God. The Bible says in Malachi 3:6, I am the Lord, I change not. And I want you to understand, church, from the scriptures this morning, that there are several things about God that you can count on, but one is this, is that God is faithful. He always has been. He always will be. Human people may let you down, but God will never, ever let you down. He can be counted on because he is faithful. Notice, if you would, in verse number 9, we see that God is faithful in his personality. The Bible says here, know therefore that the Lord thy God, Aren't you glad that we can say that he's my God? He's not just a God afar off to us. He is a personal God. He is my God. And it says here, he is God, the faithful God. The word of God says in Isaiah 46 in verse number 9, remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is none else. I am God and there is none like me. Now just stop and think with me about God for a moment. Think about his personality. Think about who he is. Notice this morning that God is truthful. In this passage, it says in verse number 9 that he keepeth covenant. In the Old Testament scriptures, there were covenants that God had drawn up, that God had entered into, if you would, with certain individuals or a group of people. And he is, the Bible says, he is so faithful that he keepeth covenant. That is, he is truthful. The Bible says in Psalm 119, thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. In Deuteronomy 32, in verse number 4, he is the rock. His work is perfect, for all his ways are judgment. A God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is he. He is known as a God of truth. Remember that question Pilate asked Jesus as Jesus stood before him? He asked the question, what is truth? Boy, that question could be asked today. I'm glad there is an answer. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And yet the Bible says about God that he is a God of truth. He is truthful. Think about this. You're driving down a road and you see a sign that says dangerous curve. Now, there's at least three responses you could have to that as you're driving. One, you could slow down. That would probably be the most normal thing people would do. Or you could ignore it and maintain your speed that you're driving at that point. Yeah, it says dangerous curve, but I'm just going to maintain 75 miles an hour and just go keep on going. Or here's your third response, you could accelerate. Yeah, dangerous curve. A young person would look at that and say, all right, this is what I've been looking for. Right, TJ? You should have seen TJ last night mount a bull. No kidding. Teresa and I went down there last night and watched him. You try to stay on the bull 8 seconds. He did it for 4.2 seconds. And so good job, TJ. But I could see TJ coming up to the dangerous curve sign and say, I could slow down. Nah, that wouldn't be any fun. I could just maintain my speed. Nah, let's punch it a little and just see if I could make it around. How dangerous really is this curve? I wouldn't recommend that, TJ, but you have one of those three responses, but here is the matter. No matter what your response is, it will not change the sign. Dangerous curve ahead. The truth is this: God is truth. The Bible says, let God be true and every man a liar. Some people choose to ignore God. Doesn't matter, he still exists. Some people choose to believe that there is no God. They can believe that if they want to, but the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. You can choose to believe that there is no God, but the truth is, there is a God. You see, this truth about God will not change. He is a God of truthfulness. And we are living in a time in our land where there is a dearth of truthfulness. You can't seem to trust the politicians. You can't seem to trust just many individuals in life. And there seems to be a great absence of truth. But you see, when you put aside God, when you put aside his word, then man is left unto his own reasoning, and that is faulty. But God is truth. And when we can point people to the God of truth, there they can find the answers for life. Because he is truth. Thy word is truth. So the very personality of God, as in this text, he keepeth covenant. God is truthful. The second thing about his personality is this, is that he's unchangeable. The Bible says in James 1:17, every good gift and every perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. The Bible says, for I am the Lord, I change not. Do you like change? How many of you say no? Go ahead, you can raise your hand. How many of you say, yeah, I like change? Okay. Very few people like change. But change comes in life. Those of you that are a little older than me, you know how difficult it can be to deal with change, right? I mean, you don't like, you want things just so. You want to be able to count every morning when you get up that it's just going to be like clockwork, just like it was yesterday and just like it was the day before. You just can't handle change. But if you live long enough, you know that life is full of change. One day you can be healthy, the next day your life can just fall apart on you. One day you could be going along doing well with the job, and the next day you could wake up and go to work and only hear the employer say, I'm sorry, we're terminating your position. You're done. After having been there for so long, change comes in life, good or bad, but there is one constant you can count on. God is unchangeable. He changes not. He said, I am Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. This was an important truth for the children of Israel in this context to hear that God is a faithful God. And God is faithful in his personality. The second main point I want you to understand this morning from the text is this, is that God is faithful in his provisions. Look at verse number 8. He says, but because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen from the house of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. God was so faithful in providing for the children of Israel. He provided their physical needs. The Bible says in Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Psalm 37, verse 25, I have been young and now I'm old and have not seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. He is faithful to provide physical needs. I don't know this morning what needs you might be facing. It might be health issues. It might be financial issues. I don't know what it is, but here's what I do know, that God is faithful to meet the physical needs of our life. Many of us this morning could share testimonies of the fact that he has been so faithful to meet those physical needs and challenges in our life, because that's who he is. He comes up with the children of Israel and says, I have redeemed you out of the hand of the enemy. I have brought you out of Egypt and on into and getting ready to take you on into the promised land. I have defeated the enemies for you along the way. I have provided manna from heaven. I have provided guidance for you all along the way. I am a God that provides your physical needs. But I'm also a God that provides your emotional needs. Because he says in verse number 8, but because the Lord loved you. Now listen to this verse, don't turn to it. But Jeremiah 31:3, the Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love, therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee. My wife and I have been married 37 years, and when we had our rings, neither one of us are wearing our original wedding rings, but on the inside of our wedding rings, it says this, forever as one. As I think about that, I think about how that God's love for me definitely is an everlasting love. He doesn't love me for a little while. He loves me forever. It is an everlasting love. And we find in the context of Scripture that he just says to Israel, I haven't loved you because you're many in number or few in number, but I have chosen you because I love you. Now, I want you to think this morning then of some emotional needs that God provides and shows himself faithful to us. For instance, God is faithful when we are weak. The Apostle Paul knew of weak moments in his life. And we find in 2 Corinthians 12, he had a thorn in the flesh. He prayed and asked God to remove that thorn in the flesh. And God did not remove the thorn in the flesh, but God said this to him, my grace is sufficient for you. And then Paul's response is, for when I am weak, then am I strong. And there are times when we encounter weakness in our life. We might be weak spiritually. We might be weak emotionally. But yet, in those times, God is faithful. He gives to us his sufficient grace. He also is faithful when we are tempted. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 10:13, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you or allow you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. There are times, every one of us, I can guarantee you in this past week, we were tempted. But here is a truth about God. God was faithful in those times of temptation. He was so faithful that he provided us a way to escape. He provided a way that we did not have to give in to the temptation. Because God's faithful. God is faithful when we're weak. He is faithful when we are tempted. He is faithful when we sin. Oh, I'm so glad he is. 1 John 1:9 says this, if we confess our sins, that is to say the same thing about our sin as God does. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I'm so thankful that when I sin, I don't want to, but I do. I'm so thankful that I have a faithful God who forgives, that I can claim his forgiveness through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, that my sins are forgiven under the blood of Jesus, never to be brought up again. Because God is faithful when we sin. And then God is faithful when we utterly fail. I think about a man in the Bible, David. Yes, he was called the man after God's own heart, but there was a moment in David's life when, sadly, he utterly failed. So much did he fail that he tried to have it covered up and so forth, and had Bathsheba's husband to be killed in battle, and it was just a sad state of affairs at that moment in the life of David. Yes, he utterly had failed in his life. Humanly speaking, some would just write him off and say, you're done with, it's over. I read this week of a man. So I'm not going to mention the name just because it's not necessary for me to. If I did, some of you may know him, some of you may not. But he's well known in our country as a Christian comedian. And through moral failure in his life, he's no longer in that kind of ministry. He's in rehab. He's getting things worked out in his life. Some would say, because of this, this young man is finished, he's washed up. But I'm sure that Christian comedian today is thankful for one truth about God: that God is faithful when we utterly fail. I know David was, because here's was David's response. After he got right with God, after he dealt with his sin, here's the note of rejoicing David penned in Scripture. You ready? He says, "Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile." David knew what it was like not to be right with God. He knew what it was like to be far from God. He knew what it was like to live in a moment of sin and break the hearts of many people. He knew what that was like. But he also knew on the other side of that, he knew what it was like to come clean with God and say, "Against you and you only have I sinned." And then he pens those great words, "Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven." Here was a man who utterly failed, but was not done. Yes, he had to bear the scars of that sin for the rest of his life. He said, "My sin is ever before me." But yet, God went on, cleansed him, and used him. Where man writes people off, God is faithful to forgive and give people a new direction in life. Oh, probably never in that same position again, but it doesn't mean that God still cannot use them. Here was a man, David, who utterly failed. Let me share this verse with you. 2 Timothy 2:13 says this: "If we believe not, yet he," that is God, "abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself." When we don't believe, doesn't change the character of God. He abides faithful. What a great God we have, church. And so I lay these truths out before you this morning to help you understand what the Bible is saying here in verse number 9, that God is faithful. Now, with all of this great truth then in mind about God, let me share with you some points of application. One, because God is faithful, put your past behind you. The only person holding on to the past is you. Don't dwell there. God is faithful. Peter, let me use him as an example. He denied the Lord. Peter could have dwelt there. Peter could have stayed there. In fact, he was so distraught that he denied the Lord. He says, "You know what? I'm going to go back to my nets. I'm going to go fishing. I'm done. Jesus is gone." Jesus reveals himself not only to Peter, but to those disciples who went back to the nets. And then Peter and Jesus have a conversation, and Jesus says to Peter, "Hey, Peter, feed my sheep. Feed my lambs, feed my sheep. Peter, you're not done. Yes, you denied me. Yes, I know you're brokenhearted over doing that, and I know you feel like you have utterly failed, but Peter, don't dwell on that moment. I want you to go forward." Did he do it? He sure did. You read the book of Acts, and you don't get too far in the book of Acts. He's standing before a great crowd of people. He's preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, and about 3,000 people get saved in that one day and baptized. Peter goes on and just served the Lord. Because God is faithful, you can put your past behind you. The second point of application is this: because God is faithful, bring your present problems and hurts to Him. Matthew 11, 28, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I don't know if as of late in your life you feel like the problems of life are just overwhelming you, that you feel like you are being buried under the difficulties and the problems of your life that are just in your face, so to speak. They're there. It's real. You might want to be crying out, help, Lord, I'm sinking. I don't know if I can do this anymore. But you can come to a faithful God and bring those present problems to Him and your hurts to Him, because He cares for you. There was a little girl in a family where the mother had just died of cancer. She was scared at night, and so she crawled into bed with her dad, and she grabbed his face and said, Daddy, is your face toward me? He said, yes. And she said, okay, I can sleep now. And may I say today that God's face is toward you. The Bible says in Psalm 3:3, but thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory and the lifter up of mine head. It's so true in my life, and I know it's true in your life, that when we go through difficulties, you want to know one of the common physical postures of people? It's not this. It's this. Get a little downcast, discouraged. It's why in Hebrews it says, lift up the arms that hang down, the feeble knees, people going through the difficulties, people going through the problems. And Psalm 3 says, God, I can just picture this. Like me as a father going to one of my daughters and just putting my hand under her chin and just gently lifting it up, and we look eye to eye. And I can just see our loving, faithful God, if you would, like putting His heavenly hand under our chin, and we get eye to eye. And looking into those great eyes of our God, we realize that He cares no matter how hard it is. Amen. He's a faithful God. You can count on Him no matter how hard it is. If you don't believe that, I'm not saying you don't believe it, but if you don't believe it, look to my right, your left, back row is a man today that is a testimony that God is faithful in the hardest times of life. God has brought Brother Don so far from where he was. Amen? God's faithful. God said, hold it, I'm not done with Don. I've got a plan, I've got a purpose for his life. Yeah, it was tough. Yeah, it was hard. And it still is, I'm sure. Still has its trying moments. But you know what God has shown to Don and to the family since July? Hey, I haven't moved one bit. I'm faithful. I'm with you. This past week, I got great news. I've been staying in touch with him along the way, but for 8 long months, Sam Lazar, major accident. Many months in the hospital, then rehab center, and now finally home. When I called him the other day, he says, hey, I'm making spaghetti. Come on over. I think about that, and I think about how God is faithful. A man who had to have total hip reconstruction, literally. And yet, God did not forsake Sam Lazar. God is faithful. One more living example this morning, and he's already learning about it, but Brother Wayne Morgan, start tomorrow going through his radiation and chemo, facing major cancer. But do you know what he can rely on? No matter how much it may hurt, no matter how much it may make him sick, that there is a God in heaven who will be faithful to Don no matter, or to Wayne no matter what. Amen. Amen? Amen? I mean, I could just keep going and going. Brother John back here sitting going, he's got cancer. You know what John has learned? He knew it already, but he's learned it even more. God's faithful. I mean, I don't know how many times I've taught to John. He says, Pastor, it don't matter how God takes me, if it's through cancer or just any other way. He says, I'm ready. I've lived a good life. Now, we don't want to let Brother John go yet. So, John, you can't go yet. But I tell you, what has God shown? He's faithful. I trust this morning that when you leave here, you leave with this great thought in mind, that no matter how difficult it is, you can bring your burdens, your heartaches, you can bring them to God, and you will find a faithful God who cares for you. And you can put your hope for the future in him. He will never let you down. I know that sometimes that's hard for some people to really believe, but it is true. Because in Peter it says that unto you that believe, he is precious. That word precious has the idea, one of its meanings is disappointed. When you believe, I've never been disappointed in the Lord. Oh, I've been disappointed in myself. I've never been disappointed in my faithful God. And I can put my hope for the future in him. Listen to this verse, Lamentations 3. This I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. We taste God's faithfulness when we begin to trust him with our tomorrows and then watch to see what he does. We trust him with our tomorrows. I don't know about tomorrow, but I know he holds my hand. Amen? He's a faithful God. God is faithful at all times. Let me close with this. There's two names about God in the Bible. There's many of them, but one is Ebenezer. Hitherto hath the Lord helped us, is the meaning of that. God has helped us. Then there is another great name of God, Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will provide. One of those names speaks to God's faithfulness, and the other speaks to his provision. Great is thy faithfulness, O God my Father. There's no shadow of turning with thee. You change not, you're faithful. Let me conclude with this. Some of you know the name, some of you may not. The name Charles Spurgeon. Charles Spurgeon was a preacher greatly used of the Lord years ago in the country of England. And he told the following story of his grandfather James, and how that his grandfather had such strong faith in God and the faithfulness of God. He said he had a large family and a very small income, but he loved his Lord, and he would not have given up his preaching of the gospel for anything. He writes, one day the cow on which the family relied for milk for the children suddenly died. James Spurgeon's wife was greatly concerned, but he said, God said he would provide, and I believe he could send us 50 cows if he pleased. On that same day, he made that statement. A group met in London, a group James Spurgeon did not know, that wanted to help meet the needs of poor pastors. They raised a large sum of money and began sending it to different pastors in need to help their families. When they reached the end of the list, there were still £5 left. One man suggested sending it to James Spurgeon. Another said, no, let's not just send £5, let's add 5 more to go with it. Others joined in, and the day after his cow died, James Spurgeon received £20 in the mail, and I looked that up. That was the equivalent of $25. That may not sound like much in this day, but in the day that he lived, that was a lot of money. You know what James Spurgeon learned that day, that he really something he already knew, but he learned more about God, that God is faithful to his word. God is faithful to his promises, and God is faithful to provide. Church, leave here today knowing this great truth. You know a God who is and always will be faithful. People may change, times may change, but God remains faithful. Let's pray. Father, this morning now help us to just sink our teeth and our heart, more importantly, into this great truth that you are faithful. You assured the children of Israel of old of that truth, and today you are sinking that into our hearts and our minds, that you are faithful no matter how difficult it gets, no matter sometimes we don't, well, all the time we don't know what the future holds, but we do know that you're in the future, you're in our present, and you are faithful. So, Father, this morning, help us to not forget this truth. May it change us. May it help us. May it help us today. In Jesus' name. Now their heads bowed. Would it be there's those here this morning who say, Pastor, presently the cares of this life are weighing me down. They are. They're weighing me down. But I needed to hear this truth, and today I want to cast those cares that are weighing me down on my faithful God. If that's you this morning, would you lift your hand up right where you're at? Yes, God bless you. Yes, God bless you. Are there others this morning? I am weighed down with care right now, but today I want to cast those on my faithful God. Anybody else while we wait? Anybody else? Would there be those here who would say, Pastor, I'm facing a time of uncertainty in my life. And what that is, that's between you and the Lord. But I wonder this morning, there'd be those here who would say, I'm facing that uncertainty, that time of uncertainty. And today I just need to trust in God who is faithful. Because he knows the future. I don't, but I need to trust him as I face this time of uncertainty. If that's the need in your life, would you raise your hand? So remember, you in prayer, yes, God bless you. Somebody else, yes, God bless you. Yes, God bless you. Someone else this morning. Now I wonder if there be those here who say, Pastor, I don't know for sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. I'm not sure that heaven is my home. But today, I want to know Jesus is my Savior. I want to know for sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. Would you remember me in prayer this morning? Would you lift your hand right where you're at? I'll acknowledge it. You can put it right back down. Anybody at all while we wait. Say, Pastor, that's my need. I'm not sure if I died or go to heaven, but I want to know. Just lift up your hand right where you're at. Anybody at all while we wait. Anybody at all. Say, I want to know. I really do. Realize I'm not going to live forever in this life. I want to know for sure that Jesus is my Savior and I'm on my way to heaven. Anybody at all while we wait. And now, Father, I'm so thankful that you know and see the hearts of all people in this congregation. You have seen the hands of these individuals who are weighed down with care. May they today, by faith, cast all of that care on you because you're faithful. And may they be able to leave here, if you would, with a lighter spirit. Not that the problems are gone, but they have cast them over on you and let you carry the load. That's what you want to do, and how I trust that today they'll do that. For those who are facing times of uncertainty in their life right now, they could be experiencing fear because of this. They could be experiencing worry, could be full of anxiety because of this uncertain future. But today, may they just trust in you, the faithful God. For those that know not the Savior, may they come to the Lord Jesus today. May they come to believe on him as Savior in their life. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.